Back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, and we're talking today with Dr. Dylan Luter from the K-State College of Veterinary Medicine. He works in surgery on equine, and we're talking today about horse health and some of the things that horse owners can recognize here in their horses. And included in that is how to recognize when your horse is exhibiting symptoms of lameness and the process of finding and treating that. And, you know, this is a topic here that is very important, obviously. And I'll just kind of let you take it away, Dr. Luter, kind of some helpful hints here for owners.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Brandon. Well, lameness is one of the top things we see at K-State Vet Med for horses coming in. And it can really range from something where a horse is severely and obviously lame and they have a big head nod or there's a big limp when they're walking, or it can be something that is even as mild or subtle where you have a horse that's maybe a barrel racing horse, for example, that used to be able to run the pattern in 15 seconds and would win the race, and then now it's running the pattern in 15 and a half or 16 seconds and it's not even placing and winning any earnings. And so being able to recognize when there's a problem and come in and get treatment is important, because the sooner you can diagnose what the injury is, the sooner you can get the appropriate treatment and then get that horse back onto the road to recovery and back into doing what most horse owners have horses for, and that's to ride them. So when a horse comes in for lameness at the VHC, I think one of the most common things we get questions about and explain to owners is the process that we use to find the lameness and why we have to do that. So if you go into the doctor because you're limping, you can usually tell the doctor, hey, my ankle hurts, my knee hurts, my hip hurts, and then they can go in and take an x-ray without doing any or different tests. Maybe they don't need an x-ray, but without doing extra tests. And we can't really do that with horses, of course, because they can't speak, but we can use our physical exam and feel for any swelling or pain. But commonly we have to do nerve blocks where we start down low and we numb areas of the foot by blocking the nerves, and then watch the horse trot and watch for the lameness to resolve. And then so by kind of systematically doing these nerve blocks on up the leg, we can figure out where the problem is and then move forward from there with whatever we need to do to find the injury.
Wow, that's pretty fascinating. I didn't realize that you could do something like that. We have a caller here who has a question or a comment, so we'll get to him real quick. Robert's on the line. Go ahead, Robert.
What a wonderful presentation. Having been raised on a cow-calf operation over in Goslar, Kansas with the Mennonites, I always saw and asked the questions about how they treated the horses. They'd stand out in the hot sun with the buggy, and I'd say, there's a tree over there. And they'd say, no, horses stand in the hot sun. I had no idea about what you were saying, how different they are. We get the cow up in the barbed wire fence. We just use an old maid story about WD-40 and clear it up. But now the snakes are kind of pooling up to nest. I've never had a cow bit by a snake. I've walked up on copperheads, but I've seen deer have a snake bite on their face. Well, a horse has always got its head down eating. Do the little pygmy rattlesnakes or the baby diamondbacks or even the copperheads, they would then, unless they have a sense about getting away from it, they might suffer from a snake bite you need to watch for. Thank you so much for your presentation.
All right. Thank you, Robert. Were you able to hear that okay, Dr. Luter?
No, unfortunately, I couldn't.
Oh.
I couldn't hear that. So.
Okay. Well, he was basically thanking you for your presentation and everything that... It was just mostly complimenting you here. He grew up on a horse farm and just wanted to say...
Oh, well, thank you very much for that, Robert. I appreciate that.
Yep. I don't know why we're having a little issue with that connection here, but we'll try to get that squared away. Going back to on lameness here in finding and treating, you mentioned how, you know, obviously horses can't tell you when they're in pain, but do they exhibit symptoms or show? Is there anything that people can look for to start noticing when a horse is lame?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. That's a great question. One thing that I then didn't realize when I, after I became a veterinarian, I got married late in life. And when I first met my wife, she, I was explaining what I do and that I work on lame horses. And I didn't realize what, that a lot of people may not know what lameness is. And so lameness is basically, it's a clinical sign that we associate typically with pain. And so anytime there's pain in a horse's leg and it's not moving correctly, that's what lameness is. Most of the time when people say that their horse is lame, they mean limping. And so if you can imagine, if your leg hurts and you're limping, you're going to put more weight on the good leg and less weight on the bad leg. So for a horse, what that means when they walk or they trot, their head may bob up and down. And there's a saying that we use to teach veterinarians, say down on sound. And so as your horse is trotting, if you notice the head's bobbing up and down and you can nod your head with it, you nod your head down, whatever leg is on the ground, when you're down, that's the sound one. And so that's really a helpful hint for anybody trying to figure out what leg is lame. So
interesting. That's a neat trick. So we'll try that sometime next time.
Yeah, you can practice that.
All right. Well, that's pretty interesting information. You also have here on our notes, and we have a little time here, so we could probably chat about this, and that is how you can recognize colic and what your veterinarian can do to treat it.
Yeah, colic is a really important topic this time of year, with the one coming from the hot weather of summer transitioning into the fall weather. Horses tend to develop problems with their intestines, and colic in general just means generalized abdominal pain, where a horse might be it might be something as mild where the horse doesn't want to eat as much and just wants to sit quietly in the corner. The most common colic signs are they're kicking or pawing or looking at their belly, or it may be so dramatic as that they're rolling and thrashing and you can't keep them up. I think for horse owners, just having a good recognition of what their horse's normal patterns are, monitoring their water intake and make sure that they keep drinking, especially if they're used to drinking the warm water and then it gets suddenly cool and they don't want to drink the cool water, is important. And then paying attention to how your horse is behaving at least twice a day if you can. I know some places on a big ranch or something, it's hard to do that frequently, but and make sure they're up and interactive and bright-eyed and wanting to eat. And if they're not acting like that, to keep a close eye on them. And if you're at all concerned, to call your veterinarian and ask them for their advice, because similar to wounds and lameness, the sooner you can treat a colic, the more likely you are to have a good outcome.
All right. Very good information there. And if people have any questions and want to get a hold of you guys out there, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, they can reach out at the main desk at the Large Animal Hospital at K-State, and that's 75-532-5700. And you can either ask directly for me if you have a question for me, or we rotate through. I have a number of clinicians that are in charge of clinics each week, so they can get you to the doctor in charge of clinics as well.
All right. Good information once again. Dr. Dylan Luter, again, is our guest here on In Focus. Thanks for being here, and thanks for the information this morning.
Thank you.
All right. That's going to wrap up the first half of our show. Stay tuned. We'll hear from the Manhattan Housing Authority coming up next on In Focus.